told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Then Jesus answered, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, and if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. For whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To know and be known. That's what these passages are about. What does it mean to know and to be known? In the Old Testament passage from Jeremiah, we hear the prophet talk about a new covenant that's going to be given. The people again find themselves in exile, again find themselves parted from the land that's familiar to them, without the customs that they've enjoyed, without familiarity. And yet they still want to be close to the God who loves them, who has shown them love all throughout history. The God who identified way back Adam as the father of many nations and promised them a new land. Covenants with Noah and Moses and David were all covenants attempted and initiated by God so that they might come to know God better, have a relationship with God. It's all about relationships and what does it mean to come to know one another and discover more deeply what another is about. Now, certainly the people of God throughout the history have been shown many times who this God is, but somehow they seem to forget quickly, get so caught up and lost in their own activities, their own priorities, that they lose track of this God who loves them. God understands this. God understands that no matter how many times, whether it's through 10 commandments or many laws are given, still people don't seem to understand what God wants from them. They wander away from God. So finally he says, "I'm going to bring a new covenant." And the nature of this covenant is, it's not going to be written down. You don't have to teach it to each other. It's going to be written on their hearts. They're going to know the Lord. To know the Lord. It's a story about a young woman who was sitting on a park bench reading a book. And a man came along and sat next to her. And after a few minutes, they began talking. They talked about a variety of topics. In the course of the conversation, he turned and asked her, says, "What book is that you're reading?" And she told him. But she told him in a way that said, "You know, I've kind of lost interest in it. It's not interesting anymore. I don't think I fully understand it." And so the man decided to share some notions and insights he had about that book because he was acquainted with it. And as he did, she began to discover some new things and appreciated the conversation. At the end, she said, "How is it that you know so much about this book that I'm reading?" He said, "Because I'm the main subject and the author." He got up and parted company. She sat a few more minutes and went home that night, and she decided to attempt to read the book again. And as she began to read the book, all of a sudden it came alive to her. The words seemed to jump off the page like they didn't before. It all seemed to make sense to her, and she wondered why that was. Then we discovered that the book she was reading was the Bible, and the person who had been talking to her on the bench was Jesus, and now she knew the author better. Somehow knowing the author made a difference for her as she read that book. And read the stories about this man in this book. But isn't that the way it is with us in relationships? We have to kind of spend some time with each other to get to know each other better. And somehow when we get to know each other, somehow it changes the nature of who that person is for us. No longer a stranger. No longer now just an acquaintance, but now maybe a friend, a treasured colleague. But it took time and effort. to do that. But you know, there's a difference between reading about something and about somebody and knowing somebody. I just finished reading a book on Leonardo da Vinci. Fascinating book. Talking about a fascinating man who is, unlike anyone else I've read about, known as a great painter, a sculptor, an engineer. But you know, he had the great propensity to not finish projects. There's very few paintings he ever finished. And the ones we see and enjoy are the ones that he finished. All the rest were, he began them, lost interest in them, seemingly. But some of y'all held on so long that the Mona Lisa was not discovered until he died when they went to his apartment and saw it sitting there. He had been carrying it with him for 30 years. Always going back to it with one more brush, one more stroke, one more notion. But the thing that was fascinating about Da Vinci was his curiosity. He had an incurable need to want to know and understand things. And so if somebody asked him to build a sculpture of a horse with a king on it to celebrate that man, he would get started on the horse and get lost on it because he started so fascinated by the horse itself and how horses are put together and how the horse's muscles work. And so he would study the horse and dissect the horse and investigate it. So much to they never got back to actually sculpting a horse. When he worked on a painting, he would understand that in the back scene were flowing water, and he saw the way water flowed, and he experienced his life, so he'd go off and begin exploring waterfalls and rivers and streams and pictures of water. And he'd get fascinated, and he'd chart and write notes and pages of notes on the understanding of how water works and functions. He's never finished the painting. Trying to set up a source of water to be fed into a channel, and he got so caught on how it's done, he never showed anybody how it's done, and so it never got accomplished. So in some ways, one would read Leonardo da Vinci as a pretty good failure. Failure to follow through. That's not a very good quality, is it? Yet, when you read all his notes of all the things that he studied, from flying to woodpeckers' tongues to butterflies to horses to people, he uncovered some things that 2 and 3 centuries later, scientists finally claimed for themselves as a new learning. But he had already discovered it, already made note of it, already drew a picture of a valve of a heart and how it functioned. Genius. Genius not because a project's completed, a genius because he was so open to want to understand and explore. His curiosity led him to try and to fail and succeed many, many times. And to yet make notes of all the things that he had done. Never looking to publish, never looking to have notoriety, just looking to learn something new. Learn more. Knowledge. Understanding. Driven by curiosity. Now, we can sit at a dinner with people and we can have some level of conversation, but if we do not ask questions for deeper understanding of what somebody does, what they're about, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, we really don't get to know them better, do we? Meal comes and goes. I go away thinking, good food. But when we spend time asking questions, trying to understand how someone ticks, what's important to them, what values them, what's led them to be in the profession they're in, we're getting to know them. We're getting to appreciate them. And then when we see them again somewhere else, we have a different view of them, don't we? We see them differently now. The New Testament story is about a Greek in this culture who had heard about Jesus. Heard all kinds of stories, things he had done, things he had said. But he went to Philip, who was also a Greek, who was a follower of Jesus, and said, I would like to see Jesus. Seems like a simple request, doesn't it? But obviously he had a social secretary because Philip had to go to Andrew, and then Andrew had to talk to Jesus before they decide what they were going to do. as they invited this person to come and, in fact, see Jesus. The story that's not told in our passage is that this Greek becomes a person of faith. He becomes a follower of Jesus as well. He is so taken by the person he meets, so captivated by the quality of this person, that he begins to want to know more, understand greater the meaning of what he says, why he does what he does, and the God who somehow he is connected to. That person deepened their sense of the world around them and their faith as well. Came to know Jesus as we come to know others. And somehow when we come to know others better, we appreciate them more, and it deepens the relationship we have with them. And that is what's desired for us who are hungry to know our God more. Scripture is the gift to us to tell us more. Tell us stories about who this God is, how this God functioned, how this God cared and interacted with people. And then finally, gave us the sense of this person named Jesus who came to earth to live a life, and so we could actually hear examples of what he did do and say and believe. The ways we got to know God better by knowing who Jesus was. And so we have seen Jesus as well. And when we do, we understand more profoundly who this person is and what he may mean for us in our life. I remember the night that I committed my life to Christ. I was told that when I went back home that the first thing I should read was the Gospel of John. And so that night I started reading the Gospel of John. Well, I always found John pretty confusing. You know, all kinds of incredible words and images that I had no idea what they were talking about. But you know, when I began to read it this time, all of a sudden words began to jump off the page and images began to spring in my life, and I began to ponder and celebrate this person I was beginning to discover anew. It's because now I had some relationship with the author. I was getting to know the author was the subject of the book. And that made all the difference in the world. And as I've continued, as many of you have, continued to explore Scripture, more stories and tellings and words and phrases and learnings about this Jesus, it opens up a whole new world of deeper understanding of how I'm to live my life. What God wants for me, what God hopes for me, what God hopes for you. It changes the nature of how I see the world and how I've seen within it. It changes how I look at people and how people are in it. It is about knowing and being known. What God wants more than anything is to get to know you better. For you to get to know God better. And Christ is the gift for us to get to know Him real, real well. Is the hunger of curiosity there for you as it was for Da Vinci and for the Greek who sought to see Jesus and others you know who have continued to explore and ponder and question and challenge themselves to who is this God who loves us in Christ? Who is it that God wants me to be for Him? I hope for you, you'll continue to explore not only this Lent season, but throughout your faith journey, a deeper hunger to long to know Him. And then discover yourself. And then discover others. Discover the wonderment of God's creation, which has given us the abundance to learn and to live and to love and to forgive and to be gracious and to be merciful, be caring, peaceable. These are all qualities that life offers us as we come to know others better, so that strangers become friends and friends become close to the friends, and disciples more faithful disciples. Would you see Jesus? Would you desire to know Him more deeply? He desires to know you. Thank you. faith, which speaks to us of this mysterious spirit of which we affirm. Let us share in our affirmation together.
We trust in God, the Holy Spirit.